Welcome to the Generation Life Church Sermon Podcast. We are a life-giving church for everyone. We are multi-generational, multicultural, and exist to multiply by reaching our community both locally and globally with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that this message helps you in your walk with Jesus.
Well, today we have a guest speaker, and she is absolutely awesome. Her name is Pastor Lori Bolton, and she is here with her husband, Jimmy Bolton. And they are the directors of Summer Camp Shiloh, everybody. Yeah, man. Shiloh is a summer event that we take our kids to have a week in God's face, and it is awesome, and we want to bring as many people as possible. But we go way back with the Boltons, and we are just so excited. I'm talking, we go back to like Bible college days before Katie and I were like married and stuff, like way on back. So if you're looking to scrape up some dirt, no, I'm just kidding. No. Amen. That's all BC. But we're so grateful and we're so thankful. But I know that she has a word. And Gen Life, I'm asking if we could just give a warm welcome from this girl coming all the way down from New York.
New York?
Yes, all the way from New York. But can you put your hands together for Pastor Lori Bolton, everybody?
Gen Life, what a pleasure to be with you today. I just want you to know I'm old school. I still give my tithe with a check. With a check. We are old school all the way. It's a delight to be with you and worship with you guys. And Pastor Keith stole my thunder. I met First Lady Katie. I hear we call her First Lady. Way back in college days, 1998 was the year. Yes, Lord. And we had a dress code in Bible college. So that was nylon stockings and skirts that had to be below your knees. I also went to a high school that had that kind of a dress code. So to this day, I hate wearing skirts and dresses. I only wear them for weddings, like completely avoid it. I went to a high school that not only had a dress code for skirts, but we had even for gym class, you had a dress code for gym class. So it just followed me my whole life. Elementary school was these like plaid, itchy jumpers. This dress code, all my life, even church back in the day had a dress code. Like wearing jeans on the stage back in the day would get you a harsh punishment, like not allowed. Now, when I met Pastor Keith, it was through Camp Shiloh, it was through youth ministry, and I only knew Pastor Keith to be wearing tank tops or church merch. Like, the man always has church merch. I am so jealous. Wherever I go, Pastor Keith has church merch. His boys have church merch. It's like everywhere. I'm going to steal some of it before I go home. It's amazing. Have you ever stared at your wardrobe and wondered, what am I going to wear? I have more clothes. I could go a month without doing laundry and still have something to wear. And yet you stare at that wardrobe. What am I going to wear today? Maybe you've worn something and you get that salty response. You're wearing that? Has your kid ever said that to you? You're wearing that? Now, husbands, do not say that to your wife. We're allowed to say that to our husbands. You're wearing that? No, you're not. Go change. But tread lightly if you're going to say that to your wife. Or maybe you've gotten the outfit on, and then you realize, I never got the memo. I am overdressed. I am underdressed. Whatever it might be. If you would turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, let's start here. It says this in verse 12 and 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Now, we could just pause for a moment. The Bible, we're not going to be going into forgiveness today, but the Bible doesn't give you an option when it comes to forgiveness. So you must forgive. The Bible doesn't give us an option. Now, Colossians is backed up with 1 Peter chapter 5, where Peter says, be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. So we're supposed to put on humility. We're supposed to be clothed with humility. We have to ask ourselves, what am I wearing today? What am I going to put on? See, there are over 59 one another's in the Bible, and they're just mentioned over and over, referenced a good 100 times. You cannot one another yourself. You can't one another yourself. It always requires, it involves other people. And it also requires humility, which is what we're told to put on, which is what we're told to be clothed in. Now, humility happens to be a core value at our church back in Rochester, New York, and we define humility as this. We carry the same attitude as Christ, and we embody a life of service. We carry the same attitude as Christ and embody a life of service. Jesus had an attitude. Not enough if you've ever been told, you got an attitude, you better check that attitude at the door. Ever been told that? You better check your attitude, kid. I recognize I can have an attitude. I'm a very competitive person, so when it comes to sports, I can get an attitude, or I'm at the gym and somebody's kind of in my space, or they don't put their weights away. I'm still blown away by the people who go to the gym and then just leave their weights. It's like, you are at the gym, so I can get an attitude, like, put your weights away. I can get an attitude when somebody tells me what to do. I don't like being told what to do. Or I'm on my way to North Carolina to visit my lovely friends, and I have my nice carry-on, and they force me to check my bag. I got an attitude. I got an attitude, Gen Life. In fact, the guy sitting next to me, I'm like, I hope this guy is not from Gen Life Church, because I have an attitude right now, and it ain't good. Jesus had an attitude. Did you know that? He came into this world with an attitude. Mark chapter 10 tells us, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus entered our world. Jesus entered this world. He came up. He showed up with an attitude. And it was an attitude that said, I am coming to give, and I am coming to serve. He entered this world with the mentality, with the mindset, I'm going to serve others. That's madness. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the creator of the world, the one who laid the very foundations of this earth, the one who knows the very numbers of hair on your head, the one who uses the earth as his footstool. He came to serve and to give. That's madness. He should be being served. This is madness. It's not normal. Jesus came with an attitude of getting low. He came down. He gave up his privileges. Jesus got low. The Bible says he's lowly in heart. He associates with the lowly. That's madness. And Philippians chapter 2 tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind, let this attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He gave up his divine privileges. He made himself of no reputation. He took the position of a bondservant. He took the position of a slave. He humbled himself. He got low. That's madness. That's not normal. And we know this as a believer. The kingdom of God is not normal. It's considered reverse, upside down, backwards, as compared to the ways of the world, because the kingdom of God is not the same. The kingdom of God is not the same. And so humility is often looked at as weakness. It's looked at as a negative thing. You're looked down upon. We want to see strength. We want to see power. We want to be high, not low. Most do not use humility as a definition for greatness. And yet we find it over 200 times in the Bible as a virtue. And so we're entering into this March Madness series, Gen Life. Every now and then, you can say amen in church. I love a little interaction, a good amen. It's great for us to be loud in church. We can have fun in church. But we are in this March Madness series. When Pastor Keith told me about it, I'm like, I'm going to steal that. I'm going to steal it. It's too late for this year for my church, but we're going to steal this. We're going to do this. It's awesome. I am a Syracuse basketball fan. I'm a Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan. I am an underdog fan. I am not a Tar Heels fan or a Duke fan. So please don't throw any stones at me. I just have to be honest here in our March Madness time frame. My dream growing up was to score the winning basket in the championship game. Now, mind you, I went to a small private school, and my team was not good, so just scoring the basket to win a game would be nice because we weren't good, but that was my dream. My dream was to hit that three-point shot, nothing but net, at the buzzer, win the game, or there's one foul shot, and you're at the line, and the whole gym is silent, and you just get up there, and everybody's staring at you, and I'm like, I'm just going to make this shot. You know, your foul shot is just like clockwork, nothing but net, win the game. It's going to be amazing. My dream was going to lead me to play ball in college and become a sports broadcaster. And then I was going to be on the sideline of all the games. They'd be like, down to you, Lori. And I'd be like, I'm sitting here with Josh Allen. Josh Allen, how does it feel to have just won the Super Bowl for the first time for the Buffalo Bills? Any Bills fans here? We are big. Okay, the front row is Bills fans. Okay, all right. Y'all can get saved someday. It's all right. That was my dream. And then Jesus radically altered my post-high school decisions and journey, and I found myself in Bible school with First Lady Katie. All of 2 weeks before being at college, I made that decision at Camp Shiloh. God just turned things around. It was complete madness, and I went from dreaming of basketball and sports announcing to all of a sudden dreaming of missionary life. That's what I thought I was going to do, become a missionary. I had no idea where, but I felt called to missions. And then at some point in my 20s, I was serving as a youth pastor at my dad's church, and I realized I pack too much. Like, it dawned on me, I cannot be a missionary because I don't know what shoes to leave behind. You know, you have a pair of shoes for, like, every outfit, sneakers, shoes, anybody? Yes, Jen Life? Come on now. Somebody be in the same category. It's like, I cannot be a missionary, Lord. I packed it. You're packing stuff that you haven't used in 10 years, but I got to bring it along just in case I suddenly need it a decade later. And so the airline world is madness because we paid for our flight to come to North Carolina, and then they want to charge you for your suitcase. It's like, are you kidding me right now? You're going to charge me extra? Like, I'm cheap. I was raised on a pastor's salary. My dad had 5 kids. He was a pastor. My mom was a stay-at-home. So what I learned real quick, you learn how to cut corners. She used to scrape soap. You know the little pieces of soap that you just throw out? Oh, yeah, my mom would save it and grind it down. It was awful. You can pray for me. I'm still going through counseling for some of that. But you got to cram everything into your carry-on now because I'm not paying $35. And everybody else is doing the same. There's not enough storage room on that plane. So it's complete disaster. You got to make everything fit. Now, I will always travel with my workout clothes. God bless Pastor Key taking me to the gym. I'm gonna travel with my workout clothes and my protein bars. So I want to get a workout in, and then you just don't know what the food situation is going to be. Not everybody can cook and bake like First Lady Katie can. Like, you are amazing. I didn't need my protein bars, but I pack them. I'm ready to go. I'm ready wherever I'm at. I'm ready. Jesus showed up. He came ready. He came clothed. He came equipped with an attitude that changes the game, with an attitude that turns things around, and we are called to have that same attitude and readiness. So let's jump into John chapter 13. John chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 17. You ready, Gen Life? Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am going to do you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I do not wash, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. And if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are you if you do them. Would you pray with me, Gen Life? Father, we thank you that you are real and alive. You are speaking to us today. You are present in this place. Lord Jesus, we just ask for the eyes to see. Give us spiritual eyes to see right now, Father. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart to receive all that you have. May your word fall on good ground and bear fruit in this church and in this community. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. We have to first clarify here in John chapter 13, Judas is present. The one who is going to betray Jesus. And Jesus knows what Judas is going to do. Now, I would have John and Peter at the door as security. Like, security, check him, keep him out. Or I'd give Judas the silent treatment. You get blessed, and you get blessed, and you get blessed. But never mind, you ain't getting nothing, Judas. I know what you're up to. Like, this is madness. Judas is at the table. This would throw me off my game. And the Bible says in verse 1 that Jesus knew his hour had come. He knew what was coming. He knew what lay ahead. He was well aware of his mission. Luke chapter 19 tells us, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. I don't know if you've ever played that classic, what would you do question. What would you do? Maybe it's a road trip, maybe in youth group, but what would you do? What would you do if it was your last day to live? What would you do? Ever been asked that question? I'm like, I would eat all the Rice Krispie treats of the world. I love Rice Krispie treats. I would just gorge on Rice Krispie treats. Or I'd fly to North Carolina and get Katie's cooking one last time. Or I would get courtside basketball seats. Like sit courtside, last day to live. Like absolutely. Or if it's football season, I'm going to just run out onto the field. What are they going to do? I'm just running out into the field. It's my last day to live. Oh, well. What would you do? The clock is ticking for Jesus. And he chooses to spend his time washing feet. I don't want to wash someone's feet on a normal day, let alone my final hours. Like, this is madness. And Philippians tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this attitude have the same attitude that Jesus had. Let that attitude be in you. So there's a few things we discover in John chapter 13. And the first thing we need to be aware of is, number one, knowledge and awareness. Knowledge and awareness. So verse 3 says this. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God. Jesus had knowledge and awareness. Jesus knew who he was. He knew who he was. He knew his authority. He knew he belonged to God. He knew his purpose and where he was ultimately going. He knew that he would eventually be seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God. Jesus knew who he was. You got to know who you are. We live in a world that is very confused. In a world that is very, they're floundering. They have no idea who they are. Gen Life, you got to know who you are. Do you know who you are? See, your identity is not based on what you do. Your identity is not based on your job title. Your identity is not based on your performance. Your identity is not based on any of those things, the titles, all the things. Your identity is based on what Christ has done. Your identity is based on what God says, and he has a lot to say. Check this out. You are a daughter or a son of God. You are loved and blessed beyond measure. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are an heir. You are forgiven and free. You are called, chosen, and appointed and anointed. You are prosperous and fruitful. You are full of life. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Your identity is based on what God says, and he has a lot to say. You're his masterpiece and the apple of his eye. You're the light of the world. You're more than a conqueror. You are strong and able and wise. You are fearless and bold. You are hidden in the secret place of his presence. You have a sound mind. You are the fragrance of Christ. You are healed, healthy, and whole. You are Christ's ambassador. Your identity is based on what God says, and he has a lot to say about you in his word. Jump in and discover it. Your identity is based on what God says. And so what we do flows out of that identity. Jesus knew who he was. And out of that idea, or out of that identity was a king who lowered himself, who served and washed feet. It's like, I hate to burst your bubble, but I'm not your servant. I'm his servant. I belong to him. I'm a servant of the Most High God, and when I serve others, I'm serving him. Knowledge and awareness. You have to know who you are. And you only know that when you know who Jesus is and what he says about you. Your identity is hidden in Christ Jesus. Your identity is conformed to the image of Jesus. Knowledge and awareness. Number two, you got to get up. You got to get up. Verse 4, Jesus rose from supper. He got up from the table. He left the dinner table. You got to get up. Maybe you have a desk job and you have to set a timer to get up, to stretch, to do something. My chiropractor told me to set a timer to get up and stretch my back and do all the things. You got to get up from what you're doing if you're going to serve people. You got to get up from your laziness, your apathy, your indifference. You got to get up. Oh, man, I don't have what it takes. I'm not good enough. You know what I love about humility? It takes no special skill set. No training is required. There's no fancy degree or education. Anyone can serve. You got to get up. We discover madness here because you're getting up to get low. You're getting up to get low. Serving Jesus means we get low. But God does something in that low place. James chapter 4 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So humility, servanthood, getting low actually takes you to a higher place. It's going to set you apart. It's going to grow you. It's going to develop greatness in you. And ultimately it's going to make you more like Jesus. You are never more like Jesus than when you serve and when you give. It's a game changer. You got to get up. Jesus got up to get low. Jesus humbled himself, even to the point of death. But then what did God do? He highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. You got to get up. Number three, we have to lay aside. Lay aside. So verse 4 says, Jesus rose from supper and he laid aside his garments. There's some things we got to lay aside. Got to take off, remove, get rid of. When I got married, I thought I had to remove peanut butter from my life. My husband is allergic to peanuts. And I came to a point before we said I do, where it's like, do I remove peanut butter or do I remove Jimmy? It was a big dilemma. What am I going to do here? Thankfully, I can eat it, but I can't be kissing him after. We got to keep our distance. After I have some peanut butter, we got to keep our distance. Pride keeps God at a distance. Pride is haughty. It's arrogant, self-absorbed, unteachable. Pride is entitled, demands to be served. Pride blames others, refuses to take ownership and responsibility. Pride is about me. Me, 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 me. Me and my glory. And it's the exact opposite of humility. James 4 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Every time I read that, I think of a football stiff arm. God just resists the proud, like boom. I don't want to be resisted by God. I don't know about you. I don't want to be in opposition to God. There's some things you got to lay aside. Pride keeps God at a distance. When we're prideful, when we're full of ourselves, there's no room for God. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 6, pride is at the top of the list of things God hates. It's at the very top. What about what caused Satan to fall? Little Bible history lesson. What caused Satan to fall? It was pride. pride and entitlement. Ezekiel 28, Satan's heart was lifted. It was lifted up because of his beauty. Lucifer became so impressed with himself, his beauty, his intelligence, his power, his position. He wanted glory and honor. He wanted worship and fame. He wanted what belonged only to God. So in his pride, Satan began to say, I deserve that. I deserve what God has. I deserve what God gets. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 14, it says this about Lucifer. Isaiah 14, verse 13 and 14. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. There are some things you gotta lay aside. Pride caused Satan's fall. It's a trap, and it's a trap he uses with us. It's a trap he's used from the very beginning, starting off with Adam and Eve, trapping them in pride. They thought they knew better than God. That's madness. Adam and Eve thought they knew better than God. It's madness. Pride only leads to shame, destruction, and disgrace. That's what the Bible says. Shame, destruction, and disgrace. Rather ironic because pride boasts of greatness, yet it implodes. Satan exalted himself, and he was made low. Jesus lowered himself, and he was exalted. I don't know if you've ever used the trump card. Do you know who I am? Ever use that with somebody? Do you know who I am? Or do you know who you're talking to? Maybe you say that to your kid. Do you know who you're talking to, kid? Like, you better watch your tongue. We were at Camp Shiloh just a couple summers ago, and listen, I just really appreciate Jen Live coming from North Carolina to Camp Shiloh. Like, amazing. You sent amazing counselors last year. You have amazing pastors leading the charge. Camp Shiloh is phenomenal for children and teenagers. I've been going since 1993. They can't get rid of me. They've tried, but they can't get rid of me. And my husband and I, we serve as the directors of the camp, and we're having a problem with the waterfront. So I go down, it's like this hill, you go down to the waterfront, it's on a beautiful lake, and the lifeguards are 18, 19, 20 years old, they're fairly young, and they're talking to me, and they're giving me grief like I'm a camper, they're giving me grief, and all of a sudden I was just like, do you know who I am? Do you know who you're talking to? I'm the director of this camp, so let's change this right now, okay? Do you realize who you are talking to? I don't know if you've ever used that, but in John chapter 13, verse 6, Jesus came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Like, you shouldn't be doing this. This isn't your job. Do you realize when it comes to humility, nothing is below us. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too insignificant. So most people are looking for a significant place to serve. It's big and noticeable. It's Instagram worthy so everybody can look and see what I have done. But not for those clothed with humility. We just make wherever we serve significant. Jen Life, would you make wherever you serve significant? I've heard some powerful stories of how you serve this church and how you serve your community. Just make wherever you serve significant, because humility is about God's glory, not ours. So there's some things we got to lay aside. And the beauty is when we're clothed in humility, humility does it for us. It's the antidote to pride. It's the pride buster. Humility fights, beats, conquers pride every time. But most of all, it brings us closer to God. It keeps us closer to God, and it makes us more like him. Number four, you got to get dressed. You got to get dressed. So verse 4, Jesus rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. Now, I have a younger sister who in her teen years, she wouldn't even go down the driveway to get the mail unless she was fully dressed, makeup on, all the things. All right. Then you got others who are like, you know, they're out and about in their pajamas. Moms in the bathrobes at the bus stop. I'm at the mall. My husband and I don't have kids, but I have a bunch of nieces and nephews. My day off's Friday, so it's Aunt Lori Friday. I got my nephew taking him to the carousel at the mall back in New York. And there's this not young girl. There's a late teens, early 20s girl. She's walking around with her big fuzzy slippers, like not the little moccasin things, like those big like animal slippers, just walking around the mall in them. And I'm like, okay. Now I've been hanging out with the Barettos, Pastor Keith and Jackson. They got their slippers on, but you know what? They take them off before they go out. You got to get dressed. It's a necessity of life for going on with your day. You got to get up and get dressed. Jesus girded himself. He girded himself. You can think of a belt. Some people in society need belts more than others. But Jesus girded himself. He got ready. He readied himself. He wrapped a towel around his waist. We got to get dressed. And what this speaks to us is that humility is a lifestyle. You get up and get dressed for your day. We got to get up, lay aside, and we got to get dressed. It speaks of a lifestyle. Humility is a lifestyle. Jesus girded himself. He got ready. He was ready to go, wearing what was needed. I'm committed. I'm all in. I got the towel. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to serve. You got to get dressed. Put on humility. Be clothed with humility. Put on a belt. Wrap a towel around your waist. It's a lifestyle. It's a commitment. It's a way of life. I'm ready, I'm equipped, I'm good to go. So when I see a need, I can meet that need. That's what humility does. It sees a need and it meets it. Verse 14 in John chapter 13 says, if I then, this is Jesus, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. There's a one another. It requires other people. You got to get dressed. Put on, be clothed, gird yourself. Humility is required. You aren't truly serving the Lord. We say this to our church all the time. You're not truly serving the Lord if you're not serving people. Serving is a byproduct of our relationship with Him. You got to get dressed. It's a lifestyle. And let's just take it up a notch. It's actually a lifestyle of worship. We surrender our lives to the Lord. So we sing it, I surrender all. I surrender all. I'm not a worship leader, can you tell? All to Him, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. It's all about Jesus. It's all for Jesus. It's all to Jesus. We carry the same attitude as Christ and embody a life of serving. Because serving others is serving the Lord. And I'm not your servant, I'm His servant. And so I'm giving God my all as I serve. I'm giving God my best. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of worship. Being clothed with humility is worship unto the Lord. You got to get dressed. Most people are going to view this wardrobe. Most people are going to view this lifestyle. Most people will view this attitude as madness. Be clothed in humility. Serve other people. You're right. That's a guaranteed loss. You're going to miss out. But number five, you're going to be blessed. So you have knowledge and awareness. Get up, lay aside, get dressed. And I didn't try to rhyme this, I promise, but be blessed. Be blessed. Verse 17 tells us, Jesus is speaking. He said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are you if you do them. That kind of looks to me like we have a choice. Blessed are you if you do them. There's a choice. What attitude are you going to carry through your life? We're used to getting yelled at for an attitude. Check your attitude at the door. But you have a choice. What attitude are you going to carry through your life? And what are you going to wear today? What outfit are you going to put on? You going to follow the dress code of the kingdom, or are you going to do your own thing? God has blessing in store for those who follow the example of Jesus. Blessed are you if you do them? You're going to be blessed. And here's what Scripture has to say about that blessing. God dwells with the humble. God gives grace to the humble. God fights for and defends the humble. God promotes the humble. God provides peace and prosperity for the humble. God gives the earth as an inheritance to the humble. You are going to be blessed. You are not missing out when you're serving Jesus and you're clothed in humility. Like, this is madness, what God does for you. But it's a game changer. The kingdom of God does not operate the same. Be blessed. You're going to be blessed. These are promises. This is an inheritance that comes with your Jesus attitude. These are promises. This is an inheritance for those who wear the dress code of the kingdom. God dwells with, God gives grace to, God fights for, God defends the humble. It's a game changer. It's a game changer, fam. It's a game changer. Can I pray for you, Gen Life? This is a game changer for our lives. Your outfit has actually already been picked by God for you. It's just a matter of, am I gonna put it on? Your attitude doesn't have to be checked at the door as long as it's the same attitude that Jesus had, the attitude of our Lord and Savior, our Master and Teacher. He got low, and he calls us to do the same. Jesus, we thank you for your example to us. It looks ridiculous to the world, but we are called to follow your ways. And we thank you, Father, for the example you set of getting low. And in that lowness, you will exalt us. You will lift us up. And so I thank you for a church that has been planted in this community. I thank you for a people that love to serve your people in this world because they know they're serving you. And so I thank you for that knowledge and awareness that we are your servant first and foremost. I thank you for a church, Lord, that is willing to get up, willing to lay aside, willing to get dressed and serve this community and serve this world, serve others, wherever you've planted us, jobs, schools, teams, all the places. I thank you, Father, that we will be clothed with humility. And I thank you that in that, Father, you will bless your people. As you promised, they're going to see your promises come to fruition in their lives. So I just thank you for that blessing over Generation Life Church. I thank you for that blessing over the pastors. I thank you for that blessing over the core team, every person that calls this place home. I just thank you, Father, that you are giving grace. You are fighting, defending, you are blessing and prospering. We thank you for that in this church, God. Lord, I pray that you would provide abundantly above and beyond all that they could ask or imagine as they are just simply here to serve you and serve others. I thank you, Father, that you are providing and you are expanding. I just hear the word expanding for you guys, that he is expanding. He's expanding your territory. He's expanding your influence. He's expanding your walls. And so I thank you, Father, that it's because they're willing to get low. It's not about them, it's about you. And so we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Generation Life Church Sermon Podcast. We pray that this message inspired, encouraged, and challenged you in your walk with Jesus. Join us on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. in person at Orange High School or online via our YouTube channel. For more information about Gen Life or to connect with us, visit generationlifechurch.com.